District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello, this is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today we're here with Kate De Jong from Fempire. Hi, Kate, how are you?
Hi, Alan, really good, thank you.
Tell me about Fempire.
So Fempire is a, we are a business coaching organisation specifically focusing on supporting women in business. I suppose what we noticed was that women have different needs when it comes to business coaching. You can never generalise, of course, but there were certain patterns emerging through coaching men and women, and just noticing that I think the key thing that women need potentially more than men is a feeling of tribe, sisterhood, community as they're on their journey of building a business. We're very social creatures and we need that connection with other women in order to really enjoy the process and get the most out of it. We like to feel supported and nurtured. And as well as we have different ways of tackling things in the business world. So Marnie Lefebvre is the founder of Fempire. She, this sort of gap in the market became apparent to her. And so she started originally with the Women's Business Academy. And then last year that evolved into Fempire. We launched, Fempire is quite new. We just launched in April last year.
What sort of issues do the women need business-wise that the guys don't?
It's a good question. This is something I struggled with, I have to be completely honest, because I've never seen gender as an issue in my life. So I had a father, he had three daughters, so we've talked about this before, you and I, but he was passionate about seeing us, you know, he always said you can be or do anything you want. And so I've grown up knowing that, or believing that. And being an engineer for 15 years, I was in a male-dominated world, and I was never discriminated against. In fact, I thought there was always a really healthy gender relationship there. That's so good. When, you know, I met Marnie and she was niching into women, I had to sort of do my own soul-searching to see if that was in alignment with me and my values. And so I started coaching with Marnie in the Women's Business Academy, and so I had a chance to see firsthand how women are different. And so I think the key difference is, as I said, you can never generalise, but from what I've seen across the board, men seem to feel quite comfortable if you give them a good dose of solid strategy and direction and advice, they can get on and go and do it. Whereas my experience has been that women need a little more hand-holding, confidence building. Of course, I have coached some women who don't need that emotional support at all. They're just real action takers and go-getters in that sense. But I would have to say probably more than 75% of my clients struggle with self-confidence, particularly because they've stepped out of the corporate world to start their own business. So it's in a new field. Or they have become a mother and they don't want to go back to their previous, high intensity job. So they're looking to start their own business because they want the freedom and flexibility that goes with that. And they're also stepping into something new. So, and as we know, and you and I have discussed this, when we step into something new, we struggle with the imposter syndrome, feeling like, who am I to do this?
And that's true.
Yeah. and so, I mean, you and I have discussed men get that too, so it's not just a women thing. But, my experience has been that when women step into that new space, we do need a lot more hand. I personally needed a lot of hand-holding too, because I was feeling really insecure and unsure. And when I found Marnie, who mentored me, it was just such a relief to have someone who got me and encouraged me and kept stretching me and growing me. So I think that's where my experience has been, where women are different. We just need a little bit more cajoling to get out of our comfort zone and a little bit more cheerleading and like nurturing to go above and beyond.
That's all very true. I've got, as I mentioned, I've got three daughters.
And yes.
We've brought them up, Mary, and I brought them up to be self-reliant, and I'm really thrilled to say that they all are.
Yes.
And the grandkids are coming through the same, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's awesome. I've lived in a female dominated household. So
lucky you.
Yeah.
You know all about it.
Yeah. I sure do. So what tips, what's one of the big tips that you've got for people in business?
So today I wanted to share some tips that I feel is sort of an overlooked area on the topic of search engine optimization or SEO, just because I have personally experienced this to a large extent, and which I'll share with you. And I see my clients struggling with it too. And I think the more you can get your head around this important topic, the better it will be for your business in the long term. And disclaimer up front here, I am by no means an SEO expert. We have several people in District 32 who are. I can pass on names if needed. However, I've had to get my head around this topic as a business coach because it is just so critical. And so I've learned certain things through my experience that I want to share today that might be helpful. And there's in particular three emerging trends when it comes to SEO that I'd like to share with a couple of little stories about how they've been important for me and my clients to get business.
So what's the first one?
Everyone's sort of heard the term SEO and everyone I think knows it's important, right? But how many people actually get what it is and what to do about it? I think that's, I've observed people, know what it is, but what are some practical things I can do to help myself?
Practical things, that's the key.
Yeah, and so maybe just stepping back, SEO is the art of bringing people to your website through online search traffic. So
have you got a personal experience on this, a story that you can share?
Yes, I have. Apparently the stats are 97% of people, which is quite mind-boggling, go to their phones and use Google nowadays to find something. So we're no longer in the age of white pages, of course, and all of that. So even the older generations are using Google. So SEO is about optimizing your website so that people find you organically through online searches. And yes, my story is that when I first quit my engineering career and I started my own coaching business, I was working as a career coach. So everything in my business was set up around career coaching. So how to find work you love, how to make a difference and, you know, all that career speak. And so all my keywords were set up around that. All the copy on my website was related to career coaching. And I had a great lead magnet, which was helping people find their inspired professional path and purpose, and so my email list was growing steadily over time. People were coming to my website, downloading the ebook, and then I would start that nurture sequence with them to, you know, eventually get them into my program. So my email list was growing with people who were interested in career coaching, which was fantastic. That's what we all want, right? However, after a few years, we'd been living overseas prior to this. When we moved back to Australia, I met Marnie Lefebvre, who is the founder of Fempire. She mentored me for 12 months. I just loved working with her because her business knowledge is just so incredible and her advice so practical that it helped me really take my business to that next level. And when she asked if I wanted to join her as a business coach, I, of course, was excited at the opportunity, a little bit sad to leave behind the career coaching, but I just saw the work she was doing and thought, you know, it was really passionate about it. So I started the journey of pivoting, I suppose, as you could say, from career coaching into business coaching. And this brought home for me how important SEO is because when you get SEO done properly on your website, it's like this intricate system that you set up that's like the Titanic. And it cruises through the ocean, you know, nothing stops it. It starts bringing the right traffic to you. But if you confuse Google or if you confuse the algorithms, if you change your target audience, which is what I did, then you've got to re-steer this whole Titanic in a completely different
direction.
You could
finish up like the Titanic.
Yeah, exactly. You can hit an iceberg and sink pretty fast, which is actually what happened to me. So, I entered into what I kind of describe as a black hole where, so my email list had been building with career coaching clients, which was great. But then as soon as I started talking a different language, so I announced my rebrand, I announced that I was no longer career coaching, but I was business coaching. And then I started putting out content on business coaching. And of course, all the people in my email list who were interested only in careers and not starting a business started dropping off. So what I started noticing was I had a new lead magnet, which was a business focused, But because SEO hadn't yet caught up with my new content, no one was finding it, no one was seeing it. So what was happening was my email list started to drop quite drastically because all the career people were unsubscribing. And we all know that's damaging to our self-confidence, isn't it, when we start seeing all these unsubscribes. But it also made sense because I needed to retarget my audience. To cut a long story short, it's taken a lot of work to steer that Titanic into a totally new direction. And it takes time because, as we know, the way that Google finds websites is it has these little spiders out there trawling the internet and it collects information through keywords. And over time, it tries to direct people to the right websites. So that's the purpose. They want people to be able to find high-quality websites with the topics that they're searching about. So that involved a whole SEO overhaul for my business, so dropping the keywords related to career coaching and starting with a whole new set of keywords in business coaching, and then finding out what are people actually searching for and how do I set up my website to answer those questions and have the content that's going to get my website high up in the rankings. But I really did have to go through a black hole because it takes time. So there was about a year there where my email list was only dropping because I wasn't speaking the language of career people anymore. And SEO had not yet caught up with business coaching, so it took a long while to get traction to build my email list. However, the good news is in recent times it's finally, I think Google has caught up with my new content. That Google was completely confused about my website for a long time because I still had some old content on there, some new, and it didn't know what to do with me or where to, you know, direct people, where to connect people to my content. So it just highlighted to me, and I was saying to you, Alan, it's almost like I needed to go through the pain of this process of having a year, not, you know, quite a year, but it was a long time where Google was confused. I had very low website traffic and my email list was dropping, and it's finally steering, you know, turned the corner, and we're tracking on par now, and my email list is building again, and I'm getting the Google Analytics shows that my traffic's increasing each month. So, but yes, I guess the point here is that you've got to get so clear and so specific on who is your target audience, what are the questions they're asking, and how can you create your content to answer those questions, and do that consistently with fresh content through blogging, video, so that you're giving Google and other search engines content to work with, so those little spiders can find your content and link you with the right people, and just how critical that is. Because if you don't get that right and you're confusing Google, it's really hard to get that traction and get the online traffic that you need to your website in order to convert them into paying clients. So,
I didn't mean to break in. I was going to say, what sort of strategies have you used? What tools have you used to actually achieve that?
Right. So the three things that I wanted to talk about today are three emerging trends which are in the field of SEO, and they're quite new, but if you can get onto these, I think they'll really help listeners in building their own business and increasing traffic. So number one strategy, you might have heard of SEO snippets. So snippets is... Google used to only rank people based on how good your SEO was. So if you put a lot of money into optimizing your SEO, you would end up on page one of Google results. If you didn't, you'd end up on page two. And we've all heard the, you know, the saying, the best place to hide a dead body is on page two of Google.
That's right.
So, but Google has now, they're introducing snippets, which means they know that when people come searching for information, they want a clear, concise answer. And so if your website answers a question that someone is searching for very clearly and succinctly, you might get featured in Google results as a snippet, which means, and you and I were discussing this, you've just noticed recently that when you go to Google, you don't only get a list of websites, you actually get an answer to your question right up the top.
Yes, alternative questions. And I learnt that from you, actually.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and so let's just use an example. Yeah, so I'll use the dog wash again. If you ask, say you're searching for how many times a week should I wash my dog, and say your website answers that question directly, say, we recommend you wash your dog once a week. Google will see that that's a really clear, concise answer to the question, and they will put that up the top of Google results above all the other companies that have, you know, done a lot of SEO work, and they'll put you up the top because you've answered a question really clearly. And a classic example of that is today, where I was searching for something website related, and the studio that we're in right now, Caffeinate Digital, came up as a snippet with an answer to my question. So Google's clever. They look at your location. They know that these are local guys that I'll probably want to connect with. So it's, yeah, the point here is when you're creating your website content, your blog topics, try to figure out what questions people are asking in your field and then answer those questions as clearly and concisely as you can. And then chances are you'll get featured as a snippet, particularly if you're in the local area, which means people find you much more easily, and you haven't had to spend any money on SEO at this point. You've just created your content to be very clear and specific. So that's a way they're sort of leveling the playing field, in that it's not about how much money you spend on SEO. It's about just being clever with how you pitch your content. So
that's brilliant. And those snippets, I didn't realise I was using them all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that that was going on. I was going to all these other websites that were answering the question for me.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's the power of snippets. If you can do it well, then you'll get customers coming to you that, you know, organically without you having to. That's what they call inbound marketing, right? You're not having to spend any marketing pushing your stuff out there. You're getting people coming to you because you're doing it cleverly.
That's the modern way now.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't like to be sold to.
No, that's right.
I shut down.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So what's the next tip?
So the next tip, so yeah, number one was featured snippets, they call that. Number two is voice searching. So this is becoming more and more popular. As you know, so Alan and I were having a meeting, and I was using an example of talking to Siri, and she's probably still listening, so she might start interrupting. But if you ask Siri, you know, more and more people, we don't have time to type. We're just getting busier and busier, and we're on the fly. So we say we're driving, and we just say, hey, Siri, can you tell me where the closest restaurant is? Then Siri will come back and say, go to cafe, you know, blah, blah, on Oxford Street. So we had this funny example where I was just demonstrating this to Alan before we met. And I said, so Siri, Alan and I were sitting in the coffee shop called the Bodhi Tree.
That's right, yeah.
And I said, Siri, please tell me where is the nearest cafe to us. And Siri piped up and said, go to Yellow Cafe on Oxford Street, and gave me directions to get there. However, so this was a great example of where Yellow obviously has done work on voice searching optimization, whereas the cafe we were in has not, and therefore they didn't come up in voice search results. So if you can, and with voice searching, it's all about understanding the long tail keywords that people are searching for, which means not just a one word, you know, cafe, or it means please, yeah, what is the nearest restaurant to me? That's a long tail sort of search, and that's what voice searching is all based on. So if you can find out what those are and answer those questions directly, you're giving yourself the best chance of being found through voice search SEO.
How do you set that up? I mean, what do you have to do to get the voice search going?
Well, it's based on just keywords again. So I think what Yellow has done, well, that's a good question. I would probably defer to an SEO expert because
okay.
I don't know how, like, what you would actually, in my mind, Yellow has basically used those questions. So find the closest cafe to me based on your location. So they would have done work on their business location, answering those questions. And whereas Bodhi Tree, I'm guessing, has just listed themselves in Google My Business without paying much attention to long tail keywords and so on. So it, I would highly recommend you get someone who knows SEO in detail to help you align your website with that, because it's just good to have on your radar, I think, that this is going to become more and more prevalent. And if you don't pay attention to it, you might end up just getting drowned out by all the by your competitors.
Well, quite a few years ago, Google, probably 3 or 4 years ago, they said, if you haven't got video on your website, you might as well not have a website. Mm-hmm. That's proving to be pretty right,
yes,
I think.
Exactly. So that's a good segue, because my third point was about video, yeah. So, yeah, number one was snippets. Number two was voice search setup, making sure you look at that. And number three is exactly what you just said, getting video content on your website. And the statistics for YouTube are just phenomenal in terms of exponential growth. Every year they grow by another, you know, billion users or something. It's massive exponential growth. Because it's, yeah, video content is just taking off. For some reason, I guess as humans, we like consuming video content. And so if you want to optimize your website and get traffic, you've got to start embracing video as a way of getting your message across. And it's also part of that building trust and confidence. You know, if people want to work with you, they need to know if they like, and trust you. And video is a great way of really shortening that gap, and straight away they can see who you are and get a sense of whether they like you, whether they trust, whether they respect what you're saying. And then, yeah, it's an essential form of communicating these days.
That's because when you're on video, people are looking at you. They can read your body language. Mm-hmm. They can hear the tone of your voice, and there's emotion.
Yes.
And so you've actually got the three things that you need.
That's it.
To relate to people.
That's right.
And it's all in one package. Mm-hmm. So the trick is, because I am a video producer as well, the trick is to be yourself, mm-hmm. be genuine.
Yes.
Be authentic.
Right.
And if you're not,
Don't bother. Yeah.
But you'll do more harm than good.
So. Yeah, and it's interesting. I just started a strategy recently where rather than just emailing my email database, I will send a video. And it's really interesting. My engagement has gone up. People replying and saying, "Oh, it was so nice to see you," and you know, reaching out for discovery calls, and because they have that sense that they know me, and even internationally, I get Americans saying, "Can we have a discovery call?" Because they've seen me on video and feel like they have a connection. Or video is a great way of filtering out your non-ideal clients, right, and getting closer to the ones who you do want to work with. Yeah.
Do you know, how do you do that? How do you filter out? Tell me more about that.
I think just like what you said, by being yourself, some people are going to like you and resonate with you, and others are just not. And that's easier to see through video, like you said, because you can read someone's body language and get a sense of whether you like that person. And so I know a lot of the website guys always talk about how it's not about the quality of people on your database or your network. I said quality, right? It is all about the quality, which means that those, if you can, filter out your email list to only those people who resonate with your style and your personality and your message, then you've got a much more targeted database that you can market to. Yeah,
that's correct. Have you got anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, those are the three trends that I hope have been helpful to people. They're just good to have on your radar, and, yeah, just to enforce the message that SEO really is so important and to spend some time and energy on it. And we do have some great people in D32. I can think of Peter Butler as an example. We have a lot of SEO experts around who can really help with this stuff. I have enough knowledge of it to be dangerous. But, yeah, it's something that I'm always advising my clients definitely to keep on top of, for sure.
Well, obviously I know about the video side of it.
Mm.
And I knew about the, what I didn't know, I knew but I didn't know I knew, the snippets, how valuable they are.
Yes.
And the long-tail keywords.
For the voice searches
yeah. I use, but I don't use the voice search. So I've got to lift my game.
Yeah, and I think it is something that's just going to become more and more prevalent, but I don't use it a lot either. I forget. I tend to type in my Google searches more than speak it, you know, to Siri.
So you've actually got to ask Siri the question.
Yeah, you have to say, okay. Hey Siri, you know, yes.
Yeah. Can be quiet, Siri. Yeah.
She's going to pipe up in a minute. Always interrupting me. But yeah, that's the way the voice searching works. Whether it's Android, it's different. But okay. Yeah, on an iPhone for sure, you just say "Hey Siri," and it's. I've noticed the younger generation definitely all over voice search. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Well, thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Alan.
It's been good fun.
Yes.
Especially the coffee before.
Yes.
It's always good.
Yeah,
it's great. This is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. We've been chatting with Kate de Jong from Fempire. Thanks again, Kate.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.